We're turning to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and the chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll commence our Bible reading at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue with muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their songs. They have made them crooked paths. Whoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before us, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and ordered that there was, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his own precious and inspired word. And this morning, I want, in the will of the Lord, to speak to you on the subject, clothed with zeal. And our text is found in verse 17 of the chapter that we read together. Let me take part of the verse, the first two words, and then the last phrase of the verse. For he was clad with zeal as a cloak. Clothed with zeal is our message today. Let's first of all bow together for a short word of prayer. Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee that already we have sensed thy presence here in this service already. We thank thee that thou art in our midst, and thou hast promised to be here, and thou hast fulfilled thy word. And we come now to the Bible, the inspired scriptures. Write thy truth upon our hearts. Give us an appetite for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to understand it, and we pray that we will willingly obey it and follow on to know the Lord with zeal, wearing that cloak of zealousness in the days which lie ahead. We ask it all in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. With the arrival of each Sabbath morning, we enter into a new week. And that means we leave behind the week that has just passed. The old week has run its course, never to be repeated again. Its joys and its sorrows are no more. Its hopes and its aspirations are gone forever. It is necessary then that we discard the baggage of the past, the sinful baggage, and carry into the new week and into the future only that which is essential and that which is good. It is the hope of many, I'm sure, gathered here this morning, that the future will be characterized by an awakening in the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray for a mighty awakening of God's Spirit amongst us in the days which lie ahead. Elizabeth Head, the hymn writer, in her great hymn said, "Is zeal abating while harvest fields are vast and white?" And at the outset of our meeting this morning, we ask ourselves the very same question: is zeal abating? Or are we clothed with zeal like our great Lord and Savior himself, who came into the world, as is written in the volume of the book we were singing in Psalm 40, and it was with joy and zeal he undertook to do the Father's will and to carry out what the Father had commanded in dying for men and women on the cross at Calvary and redeeming them from the curse of sin. I'm sure it's true to say that there is hardly a Christian alive that doesn't need his zeal to be stoked up by the Spirit of God into a burning flame. We would confess that. And honesty of heart would lead us to confess that. We often pray that the Lord will set us on fire for himself. You've prayed that. I have prayed that. Down through the years of our ministry, we have prayed it oftentimes. Lord, set me on fire for thyself. Fill me with zeal. Zeal in the service of Jesus Christ. Zeal in the church of Christ. Zeal for thy glory. Zeal for the souls of men. And zeal for the honor of our Master. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 2, we have a wonderful comment on this particular subject. The Apostle commends those who lived in the region of Achaia and Macedonia, now part of Greece. And in these areas, he commended the saints there with these words. He says, your zeal hath provoked many. Some people like to spend their lives provoking others. And often when we use that terminology, we think of it in the bad sense, that so-and-so has provoked somebody else to do something wrong. But thank God, the Bible teaches us that there's a good sense in which the word is used. And here, the believers in Achaia provoked one another unto good works. They provoked them with zeal, and their very zeal rubbed off on others, and it provoked them to do likewise and to serve the Lord. As I've said, there's good provocation and there's bad provocation. And the Lord wants us to use it in the good sense so that we might provoke our brethren and our sisters in Christ unto zeal in the things of God. I wonder, is that the testimony we bear today? Rather than being those who provoke in the bad sense, we want to provoke in the good sense. Let me first of all come to an explanation of the word zeal. By definition, zeal is an enthusiastic and diligent devotion in pursuit of a cause. That's one dictionary definition of the word. An enthusiastic and a diligent devotion in the pursuit of a cause. Does that not rightly sum up the Christian's attitude? The church member's attitude? The preacher's attitude? Does it not sum up today for us what it means to be a follower of Christ? An enthusiastic and a diligent follower, devoted to the pursuit of the glory of Christ, the extension of his kingdom, the honor of his name, and all that pertains to that. Ardent means burning. Burning. The word ardent. We often pray for an ardent burning of spirit within us. The word ardent means burning. And in the Christian context, it speaks of an intense enthusiasm for the work of God. That's what it means in the scriptural context. Zeal, of course, can be directed in many ways. We all know that. Some may be zealous about their home, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, not at all. Some may be devoted with zeal to their family. That is not wrong either. Some may be devoted to their vocation in life. Of course we want to do our best, and these things are not wrong. People may direct their zeal to various things, even to religion. And there are many today who devote their zeal to religious things, both false and true. And sadly, when we travel the land, we do discover many people falsely devoted to false religion, the worship of idols and idolatry. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge, scriptural knowledge, lacking. But thank God, as believers today, we can have the real thing. And we can be fired up, burning ardently with zeal for God and for the church and for the truth and for the stand that has been taken down through the years. Let's never be ashamed of that. And let's always keep looking to the Lord to fill us with that zeal. The Christian zeal of which we speak then has one objective. And that is a burning desire to please God. A burning desire to please God. Jonathan Edwards had it when he said, "I have a great longing for the advancement of God's kingdom amongst the Indians of North America. I have a great longing for the advancement of God's kingdom amongst the Indians of North America." Jonathan Edwards was filled with this zeal, clothed with it. And when we speak of the text here, clad with zeal, it's like a cloak. You have to put it on. You've got your cloak. Coming out to the house of God this morning, you put on your cloak. It was a deliberate act. It was something that God had given you the strength to do and the privilege of doing. And you put it on with anticipation, coming to God's house to worship God with zeal, I trust, in your soul, in your heart, in your mind. And so it is in the work of Christ's kingdom. Let us put on the coat of zealousness. Let's wear it. And deliberately put it on, unashamedly. Go forth and go forward to serve the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with everything that we have for the glory of God. Can we say then that the main objective of our lives is the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth? Or has it more to do with earthly things, material things, the things which pass away? Let us lay up treasure, Jesus said, in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Let us have our heart in the work. Let's have our souls in the work. Jeremiah had this zeal. And after a temporary lapse, a great man like Jeremiah, a prophet like him, he had a temporary lapse. And after that temporary lapse, he cried out with burning zeal in chapter 20 of his book in verse 9. He said, "His word," that's God's word, "was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones." Shut up. He had concealed it for a while. and it was shut up in his bones, but it was there as a burning fire. And then he said, I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. It had to get out. He had to get busy. He had to speak it and preach it and teach it and tell it as it was, whether it was pleasing or not, or otherwise. He had to get the word of God out. It was burning in his heart as a fire. Oh, I wonder, is the word of God burning in our hearts as a fire today? Young people, not allowing the world to get in, not allowing its influences to impact your life, but let the word of God lead you and guide you. Let it be as a burning fire within your heart. Older people as well, it's very easy for us to grow cold, to become stale and starchy, and to lose out as far as our zeal for the Lord is concerned. It's the Lord's will that we be stirred afresh, and we let the Lord stir us. An explanation of zeal. What about examples of Christian zeal? Zealous service for God was the characteristic of the early disciples. These are examples, aren't they? Indeed, one of them, chosen by Christ, bore the name Zelotes. We don't know much about him. He's called Simon the Zealot. Josephus, the early Jewish historian, tells us about Simon the Zealot. And he writes about him, and we've only got his word for it. And if this is true, and I wouldn't doubt it for one moment, we're told that after the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit of God, Simon Zelotes went westward, sent by the disciples, and he ended up in Britain preaching the word of God. Here's a man whose very name testifies to zeal in his heart, zeal in his works. He may have been zealous in his previous employments before he was converted to Christ. That's why he was given the name Zealot. For everything he put his hand to do, he did it with zeal. And now this is all converted into zealousness for Christ. And he's willing to travel the world to bring the gospel to the lost, to preach Christ to the heathen, and to win souls into the kingdom of Christ himself. Oh, he was filled with zeal, and what zeal he had. The early Christians were examples of zeal. They faced endless persecution and opposition, and they suffered dreadfully for the cause of Christ. And yet, they remained steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord with zeal. The early Christians were examples of zeal. Think also of the reformers, men like Luther and Calvin and Knox and many others besides, who were hounded by the enemies of the gospel because of their espousal of the truth and their preaching of the truth. Yet they persevered and gave zealous leadership towards this one particular end, that is the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. We're privileged in the day that we live. The lines have fallen out onto us in pleasant places. And I trust we too will be stirred with an ardent zeal. We will be filled with diligent devotion towards Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for the advancement of His kingdom. Great missionaries, men like Hudson Taylor and many others besides, have been examples of Christian zeal in the Church of Jesus Christ. They left the comforts of home. They left family to labor in some distant land with the objective of taking the gospel of Christ into all the world. Zealousness, clothed with zeal, these people could have had a much easier life at home. But God called them, and Christian zeal motivated them. Clothed with zeal as a cloak, clad as a cloak. The greatest example, of course, is Christ Himself. We could go on giving examples, but Christ is the greatest of all. Isaiah tells us here in this chapter, He was clad with zeal as a cloak. To do Thy will I take delight, O Thou my God that art, yea, that most holy law of Thine I have within my heart. And He preached in the congregation and outside the congregation. And we're told that He set His face as a flint with zeal to go to Jerusalem. What for? To die outside the city wall. To suffer for His people. To take their place at the cross of Calvary. To lay down His life in death, in suffering, in humility and in shame. That you and I might be redeemed from sin. That we might be saved from the thraldom of sin. We might be saved from the penalty of sin. That we might be brought home to the glory land. And Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, left the Father's glory, set it aside for a season, humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And if Jesus Christ, as someone has said, be God, and He is God, and He has done all this for me, I ask, what in return have I done for Him? That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Let that challenge burn into our hearts today. We think of another portion of Scripture in Psalm 69, speaking of Christ. It says that the zeal of Thine house hath eaten me up. The Savior eaten up with zeal for the glory of His Father. And in Psalm 119, concerning Christ, it says, my zeal hath consumed me. It hath consumed me. It's been said of many past missionaries that they were out of breath after souls. They were consumed with a passion for the kingdom of Christ. I wonder, are we out of breath after souls? What about an expression of zeal? We've had an explanation. We've seen some examples. What about an expression of zeal? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, I've mentioned it already. That verse has to do with giving in the Lord's work. It is an expression of the believers in Achaia as they practically give of their means to the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. And as they give of their means, it was said of them, your zeal hath provoked many. They were zealous in giving to God's work. Zealous in giving. That's the context of that verse. And think how the spread of the gospel is hindered worldwide even today. Why? Because of lack of funds. We know that in our own denomination. And the world at large knows it. Missions and churches are limited by what they can do, usually due to lack of finances. Isn't it true? If every believer at least tithed to the Lord's work, a great deal more could be done. And then again, if every believer tithed to the Lord's work and then gave their offerings, a great deal more again could be done and achieved in the spreading of God's kingdom. Does my faithful giving and yours provoke very many to give likewise? Or do we, by our lack of giving, provoke others to follow a bad example? Your zeal hath provoked many. We ought to exhibit great zeal in our service for God. But some may argue that they have very little talent and therefore they cannot do very much. You see, in every building, including this one here, there are nails. A nail is not considered very much, is it? But there are nails of various sizes. There are large nails doing a big job of holding together large pieces of timber. And there are very small, tiny nails, maybe sometimes called pins, hanging up a very small picture. And both the large and the small are useful in the house of God. And together, they help to complement it. And they help to furnish it, to decorate it, and to keep it together. And I say to you today, you in your small corner, and I in mine, we're all useful in the house of the Lord, the church to which you belong, as you give your all to it, you devote your zeal to it, and you seek to extend it, and by prayer and labor, you seek the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus. God will bless you. And whether it's a small work or a great work, maybe looking after children, or if it's preaching at the desk, no matter what it is, you do all things to the glory of Christ, and the Lord will bless you richly through it. Zeal in your service, however little or however great, do it to the glory of the Lord. Zeal in your daily living, in the home, in the workplace, in the marketplace. Your words, your behavior, your love, your spirit, your faith, your pureness, holiness of character and life, filled with zeal. All of these things are a testimony, wherever you might be, in the advancing of Christ's kingdom. Zeal in your obedience to follow on to know the Lord. You read the Bible. You're filled with zeal. Now, Lord, what do you want to tell me here? Lord, what is it thou just want to show me from this portion? I can't see it, but Lord, show it to me. And with zeal, you dig into the Bible. You mine this gold mine of truth. And you Take it and you possess it. It will enrich your soul. It will bless your heart. Zeal, as you take your stand for Jesus Christ. This church in its early days was filled with zeal in its stand for truth. And all down through the decades that have passed, we trust that the Lord has kept us zealous in opposing apostasy, in opposing the innovations of worldliness, in opposing the innovations of the ways of liberalism. May God keep us faithful. And that's the church that God will bless. And that's the people whom God will bless. We thank God for his truth. The zeal of the Lord is seen also in our willingness to volunteer for God's work. Many are holding back today. Happy that others do the work of God, whether it's at home in the home church or foreign on the mission field. Happy that others do the work. But let us be filled with zeal, a willing zeal, to volunteer, to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Send me. Lord, I surrender all. There are, of course, exemptions in zeal as well, because there can very easily get into even a preacher's heart, and I'm speaking to myself, there is a wrongly directed zeal. For example, Paul testified of Israel by saying that they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You see, they were religious, but they were wrong. They were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. The great Anglican Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle, had an interesting comment to make about zeal as it relates to both young people and older people. He said basically that to meet wise young believers was very rare. That's not to criticize young people. Thank God for wise young people. And I'm not doing that today. I'm quoting Bishop J.C. Ryle. And likewise, he said, zealous older believers are equally rare. Now, that includes me. And there's some truth in what he says. Young people come into the world prepackaged, as it were, with an abundance of zeal for whatever interests them. And we look out on the world and we see that today. Interested in worldly music, and they're filled with it, taken up with it, and all the rest of things of the world. I wonder today, would all of us, young and old alike, let the Lord stir us afresh and ask him to give us a burning heart, ardently devoted to Jesus Christ our Savior and to the extension of his kingdom here on earth. How about the experience of this zeal? As we close, as we have seen, there is a bad provocation and there is a good provocation. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, what a verse it is in this respect. We are encouraged, as it says, to consider one another. I consider you. You consider me, and we consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The zeal of the Christians in Achaia provoked many in this way. So let us consider one another and provoke each other unto good works. May we provoke many by our life and testimony to do greater exploits for the Lord. May others see our love for Christ, our desire for the advancement of His kingdom, our generosity and our service and our godly life, and our obedience and willingness to follow the Lord wherever He leads us. May they see our willingness to put God first, and may, as they look on, be provoked. And may they too wish to follow the Lord. Joshua said, in the closing days of his life, he wasn't too old to say it. He said, as for me and my house, we, including himself, will serve the Lord. May we have that resolution today. And say, by the grace of God and by divine help from above, we will be clothed with zeal, will wear the garment, and will provoke others unto good works to serve Jesus Christ.